Psalm 119. Hey, we're graduating to the next section. Finally, it's taken a little while, verse by verse, but Psalm 119, starting in verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." But tonight we're looking at verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." The psalmist's question about the way of a young man may be likened, we can compare it to a manufacturer's attempt to display the utmost effectiveness of his product. The power of soap to cleanse a stain is not seen until the stain be very deep. My wife understands this because she deals with a lot of stains from my stuff. Thus, we can see from Genesis chapter 8, in verse 21, it says, "For the imagination," this is just part of the verse, "for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth," which proves that a very great power is required to cleanse it. And one of our favorite verses is 1 John 1:9, which we're going to look at that a little later, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It takes the blood of Christ to cleanse us. See, youth is often a time when lust cries for gratification and passions are most unruly. And when indulged, these will quickly begin to form beaten paths for sin in a young man's life. And we understand that as it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's so important, as we look at this, it's so important to realize how important it is, if we can just get it across to people, of how important it is to train up their children in the admonition of the Lord, and train them and teach them while they're young, so when they get old, they will not depart from it. See, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 4, it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's so important to raise them around, teach them about God, teach them from the scriptures about salvation, about living godly, about living for the Lord. It's so important. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And then from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." This was Paul speaking to Timothy. "Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." But from a child, if you go back, see here, he talks about his grandmother and his mother teaching him, Timothy. But it's important to teach a child while they're young. The greatest danger of the way of self-gratification in youth is that it seems pleasurable, even right, to the youthful mind, which is not far-sighted enough to reckon with the day of accounting that is coming. Children do not understand, we all understand this, they don't have a clue on the consequences. They don't see nothing wrong with what's going on now. If they haven't been taught, they don't see nothing wrong with it. They don't understand the consequences down the road. They don't understand any of that kind of stuff. There's no foresight there. And as we get older and we look back at things, we can see. And I was a young man once. I didn't want to listen to anybody. I knew everything when I was around 17, 18 years old. I knew everything. I knew nothing, technically. But now I look back and you try to give advice to kids of that age, and they don't want to listen to you either. Why? Because we all go through that stage of not wanting to hear nothing. But they don't have a foresight or they can't see down the road the accounting coming. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We'll give you a moment to turn there. Chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that thou, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." God will bring thee into judgment. And we also look here at chapter 12 and verse 14. It says, "For God shall bring every work into what? Judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." See, nothing, we don't get away with nothing. And again, as young people, they don't have an understanding of what that's all about. But the Bible tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. It doesn't matter. We can try to get away with it. But if you're one of God's children, you will not get away with it. But be sure your sin will find you out. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. But flee also youthful lusts." Until somebody comes to the knowledge of the truth, until somebody has been taught from the scriptures, they're not going to flee from these things. So we have the question at hand, as we see there in verse 9. Wherewithal, or by what means is the unwary youth to cleanse himself from the evil within his own heart and keep himself from defiling his defiling temptations all about him? Wherewithal? But Psalm 119 verse 9, in the last part of the verse, it says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." By taking heed. See, but God's word must be accepted as our final authority. That's the first thing. We have to realize that there is no other authority but God's word. And that means that anything in our hearts that is contrary to God's word is wrong, and God's word is right. See, when we compare ourselves against the word of God, then we find out what's really the truth. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, not only is this true of all mankind, but also the convicting work of the Holy Spirit brings us to the realization of our own unbelief, rebellion, and disobedience. That's why he says in John chapter 16, let's turn there for a brief moment. John 16. This is talking about Jesus sending another comforter. He said that the comforter will not come. It said in verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged." So with conviction of sin, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin through what? The hearing of God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It takes the hearing of God's word to convict us. And sometimes people can just see our lives, the way we live among them, and that also can be convicting to them because of some of the things we don't partake of. But with conviction of sin will come an understanding that the blood of Christ is required and his righteousness in order to pardon and justify a sinner. See, there will come an understanding. And that, to continue to follow Satan, the god of this world, will end in eternal hell. See, we would understand that. Because he says there, of sin because they believe not on me. He's going to judge sin. He's going to, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. We got to realize that Satan is judged. If you read the last chapter, I heard a message one time talk about. I read the last chapter. Satan has got an end. He's running rampant now, but there's one day he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. He's not coming back. He is defeated. But once a young man is brought to the place of realization, he will be out of love with sin and with himself and will begin to inquire, as we see the Saul. He'll inquire, as we see here in Acts chapter 9, in verse 6, and it says, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" See, he's going to come to a point in his life, as the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, did here in Acts chapter 9, when he come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was affected in such a way, he came trembling and astonished and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's the effect the Lord has on us. But a good example of this, or at least I think is a good example, is Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. So we come to a realization, and some things start to change. But in Luke 15, we see here the parable of the prodigal son. It starts in verse 11, and it said, "And a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself," this is where he comes to realization, "he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." So he started, when he came to himself, there's repentance. He realized his situation. It brought him to the realization, just as the Holy Spirit convicts us to help us understand our sin and bring us to a point of repentance where we turn from our sin and turn towards God. And then it says in verse 20, he took action. He rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So we see here that he came to himself. When the Holy Spirit convicts us, we start realizing or understanding of our unbelief, our rebellion, our disobedience. He helps us see the wrongfulness of it, but then he takes us to the Scriptures and helps us see the need of changing that. He helps us see the need of a Savior. He helps us see the need of a remedy, and we see that. So at this point, Christ, not sin, becomes his master. And immediately the Lord in his heart begins to lead him to seek the ways of God and with patience and perseverance. He comes to a point in his life where he says, I've had enough of this, and I'm ready to turn back, repent of my way, and go back to the Father. And that's exactly what the prodigal son did here in Luke chapter 15. And then he would have, as we see there in Lamentations, Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter 3, the attitude of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 24, he says, The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, and if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him, and he filleth full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But we see there, in verse 27, it is good for man that he bear the yoke in his youth. So he comes to the point where he has no... And see, at one point in the past, before he repented of his sin, he had no regard for the things of God. But when God gets a hold of his heart, he will be concerned about his conduct and how it affects others. And that's the way we are. When God has saves us, he saves us from our sin. He saves us from the old lifestyles we used to live, and brings us to the point to where these things matter. Our testimony matters. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to the reading and exhortation and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. Be thou an example. So that makes sense that our testimony matters. What we do, what we say, where we go, what we do matters. And now as he desires to have change and will be, he will come to the point or the realization in his life, and as we've seen there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, you don't have to turn back there. Flee also youthful lust. He will come to a point to where that'll be his first thing he'll do. If he comes into a situation, he's going to flee. Just a good example of that is Joseph. When Joseph knew, it just happened to be that it was planned by the Potiphar's wife, waiting for all the men to be gone, and she tried to entrap him. And what did he do? He didn't care about his coat. He fled, because his relationship between him and God was worth more than to fall into sin. See, flee awful, useful lust, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace. See, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." See, I always heard birds of a feather flock together. We hang out with our own kind. That's why it's important to keep good company. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When we come to that knowledge, we're going to care about who we hang around. We're going to care about our testimony. We're going to care about our character. See, God's godly companions help us, or help him, as we talk about the young man here, help him maintain a public example of godliness. The study of the scriptures become the support of the private life of devotion to God. See, in John chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you are clean." See, Christ declared to his disciples in 15 and verse 3, it says, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." See, the young man realizes that reading and meditate upon the scriptures with the intent to obey then sweeps thousands of sinful, vain, worthless thoughts out of his mind daily by cleansing power. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So he's continually, once he realizes his need of cleansing, it's just the same example as I used the other day of them going to the bathhouse, that they're clean, but not all. They have to wash their feet when they go in. It's a daily cleansing from the defilements of the world. See, it says in John 17 and verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, what God could do for a young man by his word and his spirit, he will do for all saints. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's why it's so important for us to teach, to preach, to meditate, to pray on God's word. Because we need to, God wanted them to have it before them all the times. Hanging off their on their eyelid, everything. We were to keep it before us at all times. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see if I got the right scripture here. Chapter 10, yes, I did. So, we see in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. There's a cleansing that takes place when we continually are saturating our lives with God's word. But he says there in chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to capture, we need to bring everything into captivity to Christ. We need to, everything that is not, does not exalt Christ, everything that goes against what's taught in the scriptures, we need to cast it away. We need to get rid of it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So we need to lead everything captive, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes we don't always cast those thoughts out, do we? Sometimes we allow ourselves to think about things we shouldn't be thinking about. But if we realize that we're in a spiritual warfare, and they can be, the more we think about something, the less, if we don't deal with sin immediately, it festers and festers and festers. And it becomes what? As it says there in verse 4, a stronghold. It becomes a stronghold in our life. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse. That's why there's daily cleansing. That's why we need to cast down. And see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He enables us to have victory. Why? Because he defeated death, hell, and Satan. He's defeated everything in the world. And he enables us to give us the power we need. So we see there in Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And the key is by focusing on God's word, staying focused there, spending time in his word, so we can get that cleansing. Because we see in 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can find cleansing through what? The water of the word. It's considered to be water. It cleanses us. So we don't have to, as we see there in Psalm 119, verse 34, it says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And he goes on, all the way down through there, he says, teach me, make me, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. See, establish thy word, and he's asking God to establish his word. Turn away my reproach. Behold, I have longed after the precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Constantly is he asking God to help him, and that's what we need to do, is find that help in God. So, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What a great scripture that is, and what a great truth it is that we can apply to our own lives. Let's pray.